One, two, three, four! Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of That's So Kvetch, where we talk about dating, Torah, and everything in between. So how have you guys been? You know, hanging in there, doing our best. Just want to put out there that, like, TV shows have just been my therapy. Like, obviously not literally, don't worry, but I just find that TV shows are just the best distraction ever during this time, and every show has something to offer in terms of kind of like healing with the daily news and things like that. So just going to go through some shows that I've been watching and the different things that they've been helping me go through. So first of all, if you haven't seen Never Have I Ever, which recently came out with, it's Mindy Kaling's show, just like kind of like a coming of age story. Really good, really great humor, very Gen Z. And it totally brings me back to high school. I feel like right now there's been a lot of nostalgia because we're all thinking about like what life was like before Corona and even before Corona and where we are at in life. So Never Have I Ever really tapped into like the nostalgic part of myself. Another show, Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, has been a great show. And just like there have been nights where I'm like, hey, I'm going to watch this episode and all's going to be okay. And I'm just like crying at my laptop because it is just such a beautiful show. She has this power, Zoe, to hear what people are thinking through song. So that drives the whole story ultimately. And it's a story of grief and loss. She's kind of watching her dad slowly deteriorate. And I feel like I've been thinking a lot about like the collective grief and loss during this time and how difficult that is. And watching shows that talk about that are helpful to like go through and think about these things, but through the lens of a story. So another show I've been watching is Good Trouble, which is just a good show. You know, kind of also thinking about the life I had before Corona, but it's really me also just learning about social activism because there's a lot of social activism on it and just getting more knowledgeable. There's always room to learn more and understand more about the world. And, you know, attractive people. I used to love the Fosters. So it's like a post-cool. I don't think that's a word to the Fosters. It's great. Obviously, I don't know if you guys have heard of Too Hot to Handle. It's a reality TV show that's pure trash. And ultimately, everyone on it is just stupid. And even the ending is stupid. And it's, I thought Love is Blind was bad, but this is like 10 times worse. So absolute trash. I completely recommend it. Very good waste of your time and just a good way to live life right now is watching this dumb show. And I recommend watching it with friends because I find reality TV is just not as fun to watch it by yourself because like you can't take it seriously. And I feel like when you're watching it by yourself, you're kind of like taking it seriously. In other news, I feel like I'm like a news podcast right now. This is a well laid out episode for you all. Very Torah packed. So if you like to listen to these episodes because of Torah, like this is it for you. Or at least just like Lag BaOmer is coming up on Tuesday. So starting Monday evening and ultimately on Tuesday. And I have been part of this women's learning group. I think I've mentioned it before, but basically it's been really nice as like a schedule thing in my routine to meet up in Chavruta, and a lot of the things we learn about are about like the holidays coming up, and I find I really enjoy the intentionality of knowing kind of like what is going on behind the holiday. And somehow, even though I've been Jewish and like trying to know stuff for 24 years now, I still like find that I usually learn at least something new about the holidays, and I just find that so crazy because like how did certain things that I learn I just like either wasn't aware of or never took the time to really think about and internalize, and this women's learning group allows for that. Been really grateful for the nice weather in New York. I'm laughing that I wrote that. Anyways, in terms of coronavirus, I feel like there are a lot of mixed messages that we're getting. It feels like things are looking up, but also like there's a lot of bad news coming out, and like it's quieting down, but it's only going to get worse, and kind of just like hard to navigate whether or not we should be excited right now or just continuing on with our life. So, you know, the day in the life of this crazy, crazy time. In other news, my friend shared an article with me that I'm going to divulge as an effort to continue including dating in these podcast episodes. She shared an interesting article about the positives of dating during this time, and I'm going to break it down. So basically, it's an article by the New York Times called How Coronavirus is Changing the Dating Game for the Better by a writer named Helen Fisher. And few points. Video chatting is in, and so it's better because it saves time before meeting, and you can really tell if you like someone through interacting through video chat. Fair, sure. Number two, sex and money are out. There's no worries about physical touching on the date or even who pays on the date, which I didn't think about. But I feel like I've talked about it all the time. It's like, oh, who pays for the date? It's such a like fun topic to go into, but you know, you don't really have to think about it when it's not on the table. There's more time to talk. Okay, yeah, so there's less chit chat. Because of the pandemic, we are more likely to share vulnerable feelings about fear and hope, and we will get to know our partners faster. I think that's true, because like the small talk that we have right now is about something really intense, and if you guys are on the same wavelength, like you would hopefully actually be able to connect in some ways about that. And who knows, maybe just develop something further off of that conversation. It's interesting because it's like there's two ways to see this. Like, I've been of kind of the camp, like, oh, it's hard because, like, I don't want to talk about how I'm feeling personally about this really difficult pandemic that's going on in the world because that feels deeply personal. But on the other hand, it's like, oh no, this is such a great connector between two people that now automatically you have something to talk about. Everyone has this unifier that is coronavirus. So take your pick, whichever you feel. The last one is slow love. So in this process of getting to know people online, you get to know them slower, and there was this whole like psychological thing that was attached to this article on this note that basically concluded that romantic love can be triggered rapidly, but feelings of deep attachment take time to develop, and we were built for slow love, and that this pandemic is kind of like drawing out the courtship process, and it's actually better for us psychologically because we're meant to slowly create connections. I've expressed this in previous episodes, but I have been feeling rather uninspired by dating in general. But you know, it's not like I haven't done anything. And point is, there's good out there and things are still happening. And I feel like I talked about this like post-Pesach wave of quarantine life that kind of like hit us all harder than the first wave in a different way, like a different stage of grief, I guess. And hopefully by finding a routine in our regular life, we can hopefully like find a routine in our dating lives and reaccustom ourselves in that sense accordingly, just as we are reaccustoming ourselves in our regular life. But in other news, this Tuesday's Lag BaOmer, as I mentioned, and I'm just going to talk about how cool Lag BaOmer is and also talk about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, because basically Lag BaOmer is, I think there's like two reasons why we celebrate it. So one of them is that Rabbi Akiva's students stopped dying not too long before Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that story. Rabbi Akiva's students were hit by a plague and they started dying, 24,000 of them to be exact. According to the Talmud, they were dying because they failed to show each other respect. And so the story I'm going to share about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, you may know it, you may not. Full disclosure, I did not know like the entirety of the story. So when I learned it like this week, I was floored. I think it's a really great story. If you know it already, then good for you. But hopefully, by re-listening to it, we can reignite our intentionality towards the holiday coming up. Especially because I feel like holidays during this time have been like weirdly muted through like virtual events. So it's good to try to keep that fire alive. So here we go. So story is from Masechet Shabbat 33b, and it's found in a point of history when the Romans were occupying Israel. The Romans hear that Rabbi Shimon was criticizing and sentence him to death. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his son go to, I feel like I'm saying Yochai, and like I hope you guys are laughing because I actually, this is like an embarrassing thing about me. I've like always had a hard time pronouncing my chets, and it's just like followed me my whole life. I hear it's like a Russian thing. I don't know. Maybe, but bottom line is, bear with me if I mispronounce Yochai, because it's hard for me. So, Rabbi Shimon, I'm not going to say Yochai, I'm just going to say Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon and his son go to a cave where they just learn Torah and pray for 12 years. They are miraculously sustained by a stream of water and a carob tree that sits outside of their cave and gives them food and water. Eliyahu HaNavi comes to them and informs them that they are no longer being chased after and that they can go out. So they go out, they emerge, and they see people plowing and sowing seeds. Rabbi Shimon doesn't like what he sees, and he cries out, Amrin, menichin chaye olam ve uskin b'chaye sha'a. These people are abandoning eternal life for life of this world. Damn. What an admonishing rebuke. So anyways, he couldn't imagine why anyone would do that. Then suddenly, kol makom shenotnin einechen miyad nisrof. Any place Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his son would look, it immediately went up in flames. Yetzta bat kol, a voice from heaven called out to them. Va'amar lahem, and it said, Lehachriv olamei yetzatem. Did you come out there to destroy my world? So basically, a heavenly voice comes out and says, like, why did you come out here to criticize my world? And then goes, Chizru lemartechem. Go back into your cave before you cause any more damage. So Rav Shimon goes back for 12 more years to the cave, and then they emerge again, and things are a little different. This time, Rabbi Elazar, his son, is still making stuff burn with his eyes, but Rav Shimon is able to repair all the damage with his eyes. So the first time they go out, and they're both like so shocked and burning everything, like all these fields with their eyes. The next time, Rav Elazar isn't, but Rav Shimon is. Rav Shimon turns to his son and says, Dai le'olam ani ve'ata. You and I were enough for this world. So what does that mean? There are kind of like two issues with this story. The first one is like, what's with the whole laser eyes thing? Why is it that when you learn in a cave for 12 years that suddenly you develop superpowers? Number two, what changed for Rabbi Shimon 12 years later? And what's with the cryptic statement at the end? Like, you and I were enough for this world. Like, what does this story really mean? So before I can answer these questions, the story continues. One Friday afternoon, as the sun was setting and Shabbat was arriving, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai and his son saw an old man. He was holding two bundles of hadasim and running at twilight. They said, "Why do you have these branches in your hands?" He said, "They are in honor of Shabbat." They asked back, "Wouldn't one bundle be enough?" The old man said, "One bundle corresponds to Zohar and the other to Shemor." Rabbi Shimon turns to his son and says, "Look how beloved the commandments are to Bnei Yisrael. Their minds were put to ease." So, back to our questions. Does this story really make sense? And I'd like to posit from my source, which is Aleph Beta, thanks Aleph Beta, that this story is an evolution from laser eyes to healing eyes to eyes at ease. So, in the first level, Rav Shimon and his son ascended a very high spiritual level because they were just learning and praying the whole time. They were in this completely different world where they didn't understand how doing anything other than God's work would make sense. Through all their time learning in the cave, they developed this seeing that was very black and white, and that if you weren't doing God's work, your work is worth nothing, essentially, hence the burning. But we don't know if the fire was a metaphor or not, but clearly the way that Rav Shimon saw the world wasn't good in God's eyes. So he was sent back to the cave. How did his mind change in those years? And what does the phrase, Dai le'olam ani ve'ata, mean? You and I were enough for this world. So maybe he found a new way to see the world. Sure, the world isn't doing what he wants, but we can just live our own life and do what we do and let that be enough. And okay, that's what you're going to do, that's what I'm going to do. But this isn't truly tolerant. So it's kind of like the second spiritual level, like he had healing eyes, but then there's eyes at ease. In the last part of the story, they meet the old man on the road and they listen to his words with curiosity. They learn how he connects to God. Other Jews also connect to God, they realize, because he explains that with the Shomer and Zohar, like kind of what he is doing with these hadasim. Maybe in different ways than we do, other Jews connect to God, but they are still connecting to God from a good place. So the last part is these eyes at ease, where the lesson here is you can have different levels of looking at other people, but the best way really to look at someone else is with an eye of curiosity. And when someone has the opposite view, we should really stop and listen to these people and ask them difficult questions. Obviously, we don't need to agree with everything we hear, but if the people we are seeing are coming from a good place, shouldn't we stop to hear and listen? And I'm just really loving this lesson, and I think that in general there are so many meanings of Lag BaOmer that are beautiful, and I see a lot of parallels between the Jewish holidays in the recent time and what we're dealing with in this world. Not 100% correct parallels, but between Rabbi Akiva students dying and the world dying and the exile and Pesach and freedom and all these different topics that we're really grappling with, the recent holidays and the Omer and the counting also just makes me feel like it's intentional and there's a reason why this is all happening right now. And in general, I think if this was happening at a different time, I would say the same, but I'm just grateful to be finding inspiration from Torah and from the holidays and things like that. So another thing that I enjoy about Lag BaOmer is that it comes in the middle of the Omer as a happy day. And it's really such a fun break, kind of like reminds me of the importance to enjoy life and try to make the best of things, even in the most difficult times of collective grief and loss. And I just wanted to aside with this funny story from when I was on a birthright trip. One of the soldiers was wearing, because there's soldiers that come on your birthright trip with you, a shirt that said choose life. And you know, as if you don't know, that is a anti-abortion slogan that basically means choose life, like don't kill the babies. I'm like, okay, so, you know, I'm talking to him and I'm like, such so funny, like choose life that you're wearing a shirt, whatever. And he's like, yeah, like choose life. I'm like, yeah. He's like there's so much death and terrible things in the world, but you know, I choose to choose life and be happy and keep going with the world, even through all of this. And I remember just like laughing so hard at like what he thought that it meant, even though it was an anti-abortion slogan, he just like didn't even realize. And his message was really beautiful. And now when I think of the choose life slogan, I always like am amused because it could mean something really terrible and it could also mean something great and really soul touching. Anyways, after I learned about all this Lag BaOmer stuff, I was like, my dad is the coolest and is such a pro at mysticism, so let me talk to him about Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, because I didn't mention this, I think, but basically he created the Kabbalah, which is the Jewish book of mysticism. My dad's really into the Kabbalah, so I was like, Dad, aren't you excited? Lag BaOmer is coming up. Like, it's like the... So I talked to him a little bit and he shared some interesting tidbits. So yeah, he finished the Zohar on Lag BaOmer, which is like the main book. And my dad is really into reincarnation. So he shared with me that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was the reincarnation of Moshe Rabbeinu. And basically the explanation for that is that Moshe opened a Torah, and then Rav Shimon Bar Yochai opened the Kabbalah, which is like a deeper Torah. So this is to show us how the Kabbalah has the same strength as the Torah. Even though only some people learn the Zohar now, everyone learns the Torah. But when Mashiach comes, most people will learn the Zohar. And that's because the Zohar talks about the most important things in life and people will be on a holier level. So they will be more, that will just become the norm. And I asked him why he likes learning the Zohar. And he's like, it's just the like best, the most enjoyable thing to do. And while I was like talking to him, my mom and my dad go on these cute walks around Houston, Texas, like every day. And I think everyone's just doing that, just walking around. And so he was telling me this during his walk. One last thing he told me was that the day of Lag BaOmer, every day of the Omer has like a Kabbalistic significance. So the Sfira is Chod Shebechod, which I'm not going to get into this so much, but it's just like kind of a theme for each day. So Chod is gratefulness. So Chod Shebechod means that there's gratefulness inside of gratefulness. And this holiday is all about that. As soon as you say thank you, and so the idea of gratefulness, this is like a little heady, is as soon as you say thank you are grateful that you can even say thank you. And then now that you are thankful, that you are able to be thankful about being thankful. So that was cute. And lastly, I had to look up some funky customs courtesy of Chabad.org from this holiday. One of the things that I should have mentioned earlier is that there's a custom to go to Meron in Israel, which is Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's burial site. And if any of you guys have been to Meron for Lag BaOmer and are listening to this right now, message me right now and tell me about how it was, because I was watching videos on YouTube and I just could not get enough and like have to know more about what this experience is like. Anyways, let the funky customs ensue. So the first custom is to eat carob, because Rav Shimon and his son were supplemented through a carob tree. Second one, which is a little less common, is to eat dyed eggs. And the custom of eating dyed eggs reflects to the dual nature of the day. Eggs are a typical expression of mourning for the passing of Rav Shimon. However, the colors from the onion skids add a festive element to the dish, reminding us to rejoice for Rav Shimon's life and teachings. And the next one, and guys, this one is for us. There's also a custom to visit open fields on Lag BaOmer, so that is something we can do, social distancing. Next one is shoot a bow and arrow. Some have a custom of shooting a bow and arrow, commemorating the Midrashic tradition that no rainbow was seen during Rav Shimon's lifetime. Interesting. Rainbows remind us of God's promise after the flood to never again devastate the world. Rav Shimon's merit protected the world, rendering the rainbow superfluous, which is interesting because I feel like we celebrate rainbows when we see them, but they're also kind of like a scary message to the world. Next one, obviously, lighting bonfires. I think most people who know about Lag BaOmer have an association with bonfires. And this is because the famed Hasidic master, Rabbi Tzvi Elimelech of Dinov, explains the custom as a sign of the culmination of Rav Shimon's life work. On Lag BaOmer, the true power of Rav Shimon's accomplishments shone forth like bonfire illuminating the night. Traveling to Meiron, also accustomed to travel to resting places of great Jewish leaders, not just Meiron, and sages all around the world. This is based on the Kabbalistic teaching that the souls of all great sages are connected. Which is really cool. I think it's just like a cool idea that souls are connected. Next one, people cut their hair on Lag BaOmer. I'm curious if there will be more at-home cutting experiences. And then the last one is parades. Alas, not now, but the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rav Schneerson of righteous memory, would encourage children to take part in parades and public displays of Jewish unity. And these parades thus married the holiday's theme of Jewish unity, pride, and celebration of Jewish growth. So in the spirit of Lag BaOmer, I'm going to read some of the experts from this book called The Heart of Jewish Mysticism, just to inspire and reunite inspiration. I feel like I'm really overusing the word inspiration in this podcast episode, and I have no shame, and that is what it's all about. So the first one is about the concept of renewal, and it's short. An epiphany enables you to sense creation not as something completed, but as constantly becoming, evolving, ascending. This transports you from a place where there is nothing new to a place where there is nothing old, where everything renews itself, where heaven and earth rejoice as at the moment of creation. Beautiful, beautiful language. Anyway, and then I'm going to share one last one and wrap it up from this book to celebrate Jewish mysticism. So it's called The Song of Songs. There is one who sings the song of his soul, discovering in his soul everything, utter spiritual fulfillment. There is one who sings the song of his people. Emerging from the private circle of his soul, not expansive enough, not yet tranquil, he strives for fierce heights, clinging to the entire community of Israel in tender love. Together with her, he sings her song, feels her anguish, delights in her hopes. He conceives profound insights into her past and her future, deftly probing the inwardness of her spirit with the wisdom of love. Then there is one whose soul expands until it extends beyond the border of Israel, singing the song of humanity. In the glory of the entire human race, in the glory of the human form, his spirit spreads, aspiring to the goal of humankind, envisioning its consummation. From this spring of life, he draws all of his deepest reflections, his searching, striving, and vision. Then there is one who expands even further until he unites with all of existence, with all creatures, with all worlds, singing a song with them all. There is one who ascends with all these songs in unison, the song of the soul, the song of the nation, the song of humanity, the song of the cosmos, resounding together, blending in harmony, circulating the sap of life, the sound of holy joy. I think that that is such a beautiful message to think about during this time where we all feel kind of disconnected in what's going on and struggling in our own way, but just really reminding ourselves that we are all dealing with this together. And as we go out onto the streets and look at all the people in their masks, remembering that they're going home to their own dealings and that everyone is part of this, and that may it all be better. May we find out that coronavirus disappears from the world. BZH, IYH, BH, etc. I hope you all feel a renewal in the next few days and enjoy the break from the Omer and do something fun to celebrate. And I hope you all have a wonderful Shabbos. Thanks for listening. Bye.